details.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like being crushed by a massive linebacker.
Thanks!
Shanking the game-winning field goal.
Yes, I missed!
Finding hair in their nachos.
Mmm, tastes better.
And getting snapped with a wet towel in the locker room.
Ow, fun!
For everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
As compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Calling all contractors, announcing the Ferguson and Ram Commercial Ultimate Van Giveaway. We're handing over the keys to a 2018 Ram Commercial ProMaster van stacked so high with brand name tools, you'll be glad you've got that 76 inches of cargo height. We'll even brand it for you, so there'll be no doubt who's riding in style. Worth over 100,000 big ones, enter at Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking.
No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway.
How will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
Welcome back and welcome into hour number two of the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. We're at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, and that's because it's another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Check them out online at lindertire.com and keep them in mind as you get ready to winterize your vehicles. That includes making sure that you've got the right set of tires. And if you visit lindertire.com, you can find some great online savings right now, including a Yokohama coupon as well as Linder Tire's own coupon. So if you're in the market for some new tires, hint, hint, lindertire.com may be the place to go. Coach's Corner Sports Pub, also the place to be tonight, as we've got a lot going on and a lot of Ohio State fans, I should say, in the area tonight getting ready for tomorrow's game between the Hawkeyes and the Buckeyes at Kinnick Stadium. Saw somebody driving down 380 earlier today on my way here, Alex, who had the Ohio State flags, the miniature car flags, waving from his car. And I thought, that seems strange, given the fact that we're north of Iowa City right now. And then it dawned on me that it was a rental car. So somebody had brought their car flags with them, flown into Cedar Rapids in the Eastern Iowa Airport, and then I guess they were either in the carry-on or in the checked baggage, but they were waving those Buckeye flags. No scarlet and silver, right? Is that the official colors?
That is correct.
None of that in here at Coach's Corner just yet. Quite a bit of black and gold, though, and there will be tomorrow as well, leading up to the game and after the game as well. We'll be here. I won't, but we being the KGYM sports staff for after the final gun, breaking down everything from Iowa and Ohio State, win or lose, right after the game is over. If you're looking for a place to go and maybe allow the traffic to thin out a little bit, you can pull into 749 Mormon Truck Boulevard. We got to congratulate Kelly in North Liberty, the winner of tonight's final Hertine and Stocker watch. And it's a ladies' watch, but I don't want to make an assumption that Kelly was a woman. So we'll just say congratulations to Kelly. And unfortunately, that's going to be our last giveaway for the week, but you never know. We may have something in store for you next week as well. Great week of football on tap. You've got Iowa State traveling to West Virginia. UNI is taking on South Dakota. And, of course, as we've been talking about and will continue to talk about in the third and final hour tonight, Iowa playing host to Ohio State tomorrow. I want to talk about Iowa State right now, though, for a little bit. Do the Cyclones continue their winning ways tomorrow in Morgantown? 319-366-1600. Matt Campbell and ISU already at six wins, already bowl eligible. West Virginia falls out of the top 25 this week after that 50-39 loss to Oklahoma State last weekend in Morgantown. But this is still a pretty good team, and anytime you go on the road, you've got to keep that in mind, except for the fact that Iowa State seems to be pretty comfortable on the road this year. It didn't bother them going to Norman, Alex, and it didn't bother them when they had to go to Lubbock to face Texas Tech.
And I think this is going to be a similar case to Texas Tech, because I've watched this West Virginia team play a couple of times this year, and in hour number one I was talking about Ohio State not being that type of offense that relies on the big play. West Virginia is that type of offense that relies on the big play. And watching that game against Oklahoma State, I know it was 50-39, the final score, but the defense has really controlled that game. Several turnovers were committed. Will Greer threw four interceptions because Oklahoma State played that cover two shell and kept everything in front, and Will Greer just kept throwing it up for grabs and getting his passes picked off. And if he tries to do the same thing against Iowa State, there's going to be a similar fate in Morgantown. So I think that Iowa State is going to continue their winning ways. And it's just amazing to me to think that if they win this game this week, they're really controlling their own destiny, especially when after they play Oklahoma State next week. If they can win these next two games, they will have a tiebreaker over everybody in the Big 12 heading into the last 2 weeks of the season. Now, easier said than done, but I do think they have the upper hand in Morgantown.
Iowa State checking in at number 15 this week in the first college football playoff poll, and I only bring that up because I have angered one listener out there, Alex, and I want your opinion on this, and everybody else can chime in as well. As a matter of fact, I took to my Twitter account, at Todd Brommelkamp, to put up a Twitter poll on this. We've got a listener who is very upset that I keep referring to Ohio State as the number three team in the country, and they keep wanting to correct me and say that Ohio State is number six. They are number six in the college football playoff poll. They are number three in both the AP and the coaches poll. Is the AP poll still relevant in 2017? 319-366-1600. You look at Iowa and Ohio State's game notes for tomorrow's game. The AP poll and ranking is the first one that's referenced in both notes packages. Coach's poll is second.
At this point in the season, everything is relevant. And I think the AP poll is a poll that you can use at this point or really any time in the season. The coach's poll, after about week eight, it kind of becomes irrelevant. But at this point, I think the college football playoff poll is irrelevant. Not, what this week's college football playoff poll says will have no bearing over what it says in the last week of the season, especially after Alabama picks up a few more wins and jumps ahead of Georgia, and then there's a possibility that Ohio State will jump ahead of Oklahoma. You think back a couple of years ago, the TCU Horned Frogs were ranked ahead of Ohio State going in the last week of the season, and Ohio State wins, TCU wins by 40 points, and Ohio State jumps ahead of TCU. So right now I think all polls are somewhat irrelevant, but if we're talking about rankings at this point in the season, yes, the AP poll is relevant. No, a texter asked me, is the coaches poll relevant? Probably not.
What do you think? 319-366-1600. Iowa State, as we mentioned, number 15 in this week's college football playoff. 15 in the college football playoff. See, look, too confusing. I cite the AP poll because I've got a newspaper and print background, and it's the oldest of the polls. And I've never really put too much stock into the coaches' poll just because you never really know who's voting there. The AP poll is fairly transparent. I've got a, I've got a couple friends, in full disclosure, who vote in the AP poll. So, look, I think these guys watch a lot of football, watch enough football that they know what they're doing when they put that poll out each week. And I'm going to continue to cite that, and you can continue to get upset about it. But Ohio State is the number three team in the country. Now, a lot of people on Twitter are saying that the AP poll is irrelevant. Well, that's fine. But I think then you have to say that the other two polls are irrelevant as well. And Kirk Ferentz would say polls don't matter at all until January when the final poll comes out. It's a matter of where you're ranked after the season is over.
Somebody's asking me why I think that the coaches poll is irrelevant. The coaches poll, I think it was a good theory to say, okay, well, these coaches are closest to the game and we want them to vote on it. But do you think that Kirk Ferentz, let's just say, I don't know if Kirk Ferentz votes in the coaches poll or not, but do you think that Kirk Ferentz knows what USC is doing this week?
He does not have a vote in the coaches poll.
Or, okay, fine, I know Justin Fuente does. Do you think Justin Fuente has any idea what Stanford did this week or what Iowa did this week or Ohio State? No.
Most coaches don't know outside of their own program.
Exactly.
They may not get to what happened in the Big Ten or the Big 12 until Monday. It's just, it's the nature of the beast. Now, sometimes, maybe on Sunday night, you allow yourself to look back on what happened, but they're so ingrained in their own program and what's going on and game planning for the next team that the last thing that they could care about or should care about is how they're ranking teams 1 through 25. And with the college football playoff poll, that's fine, but it's still new enough that not enough people reference it. And if you said number six, you'd have just as many, I think, if not more people correcting you on the text line saying, what the hell are you talking about? Ohio State's the number three team in the country. And I know Ohio State fans are going to want to use the AP or the coaches poll because it's a lot better to say you're the number three team in the country than to say that you're the number six team in the country right now on the outside looking in, along with Oklahoma, the team that beat Ohio State in week two in Columbus. Obviously, there's going to be some shakeups at the top, but we talked earlier this week when the poll was released. It's a pretty good, solid starting four, and then you've got Oklahoma and then Ohio State and Penn State. One of those two Big Ten teams will probably separate itself at some point in time, but going back to last week's extremely close battle in Columbus where it looked like Penn State had Ohio State on the ropes and the Buckeyes are able to come back and win that game, you tell me who's better, Ohio State or Penn State. I'm glad I don't have a vote. I'm glad I don't have anything to do with any of these polls.
It's difficult to tell at this point. And the committee, if these teams continue to win, they're going to have an interesting dilemma. And it's interesting so far that through the first 4 years of the college football playoff, there's only been one real, heading into the last week, there's only been one real controversy. And it was TCU and Ohio State. And Ohio State went out and won the national championship that year as the last team into the college football playoff. So it seems that each year things sort themselves out. One of these years that's not going to happen. And I'm just interested to see if Oklahoma and Ohio State will be a case study for that this year, because a lot of people want the college football to go to eight teams, the college football playoff to go to eight teams.
Hurtin and Stocker text line, very busy, as you can imagine. Hockey guy wants to know how many AP voters have ever played or coached college football. Here we are back to the old tired discussion of having to have played a sport in order to comment or be an expert on it, which excludes a number of people, including an entire sex. I don't go down that rabbit hole. I don't find it a battle that's worth fighting, but there are plenty of people out there who know a whole lot about sports that have never played said sport in their life. And I will tell you this from firsthand knowledge, having worked in professional baseball, albeit at a very low rung in Class A, I ran across a number of guys who played the game at the highest level who have absolutely no freaking clue what they're talking about when it comes to baseball. Don't know the rules, don't know a lot of things that you would expect somebody who has played the game for the vast majority of their lives to. Irrelevant. Maybe almost as irrelevant as the AP poll. I didn't even know that this was a thing. I still put a ton of stock into it, but not necessarily a great deal, because I'm of that approach. Look, polls are an arbitrary ranking of where teams are at, and unless you're in the top three or five, it really doesn't matter. It means you've got a good football team, and you've got a good football team in the here and now, which today is November 3rd. Now, again, what's that poll look like 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now? That's what most coaches, including Kirk Ferentz, would tell you that they're concerned about, and Matt Campbell as well at Iowa State. It's all fine and dandy that you're inside the top 15, but going back to his quote about crap programs being excited about 6-6 and going, he didn't specifically name the Heart of Dallas Bowl, but basically said you got to shoot higher. This program needs to set the bar higher than the Heart of Dallas Bowl. And I think that's a great approach. I don't think it's always realistic, but I think as a team, as a program that's on the rise, yeah, don't settle. Keep shooting 7 wins, 8 wins, 9 wins, and force yourself into that discussion, because up until now, what's the best bowl that Iowa's ever played? Iowa State's ever played in the Insight Bowl, the Independence Bowl in Louisiana.
Oh, are you sliding the Liberty Bowl here?
No, they kidding. Changed the name of it. That's right.
But I'm kidding.
Like, don't be afraid to aim a little bit higher. I think that's what Matt Campbell is saying here, and I think that message is resonating with the Iowa State players, and we'll see. The other question, and I found this to be interesting because it's sort of a flip of the coin from 2015 when Iowa found itself in this discussion in the college football playoff poll. Are Iowa State fans rooting for Iowa to upset Ohio State tomorrow? Because if you're Iowa State and you want to move up in the college football playoff poll, then you need some chaos at the top of the poll. So do you, against your probably ingrained judgment, your DNA, hope that Iowa beats Ohio State tomorrow, or are you hoping for chaos in every other game and to see Iowa lose? And this is not Iowa State, because you could have the same conversation, and I think we did in 2015 when it was Iowa fans that were watching what was going on with the Big 12, hoping that there could be a little. Now, Iowa State didn't directly have its hands in the cookie jar at that point, so to speak, because they weren't a program that was capable of knocking off a ton of great teams, and the schedule wasn't in their favor at that point. But this game tomorrow has a direct outcome on what next week's college football poll is going to look like, and because of that, it has an outcome on a number of college football polls, playoff polls to come, because I think, as we all know, the committee doesn't exactly blow things up from week to week. They use the previous poll as a starting point, despite what they may tell you or what they may say.
To answer your first question, it's probably not on the radar of a lot of Iowa State fans at this point. Maybe two or three weeks left in the season. Well, I guess that's next week and moving forward. They start looking at that, and right now the picture is so unclear in the college football playoff that I don't even have a good idea as to what it's going to look like or what it could look like or what the scenarios are going to be moving forward into the last couple weeks of the season and then into the championship game week, the week after the last week of the regular season. So maybe if this were the last couple weeks of the season and Ohio State's playing Iowa and Ohio State controls their own destiny to go to the Big Ten championship and they absolutely need Iowa to win the game and Iowa State just beat Oklahoma State and West Virginia, then you might think about it. But at this point, it's the picture's so unclear that I'm not even sure what needs to happen for any of these teams to move up.
I think 0182 hits the nail on the head on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. They would be idiots to not root for Iowa. The worse Iowa looks, the worse Iowa State looks, because Iowa did have that 44-41 head-to-head win against Iowa State earlier in the year. So sometimes the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and sometimes, in this case, the enemy of my enemy, well, I don't know. Mortal enemies. I can't find myself. It's difficult to put myself in the position of a fan trying to pull for a positive outcome of rivals, but I think in 2017 we have to live in a world that's a little bit more pragmatic. And I think sometimes you've got to put your allegiances to the side and say, yeah, I'm kind of a closet fan of Team X, because even though they're the rival, they can alter the way that things work out here, especially with Iowa, because they go from the frying pan to the fryer, because Ohio State's on the schedule this week, and then it's Wisconsin next week, which is number 4 in the AP poll. I don't care where they're at in the college football playoff poll. I don't. They're not anywhere near the top 6. I know that.
It'll be, for Iowa State moving forward, I'm not sure that the college football playoffs are in the sights of the fans just yet. I think a lot of fans are enjoying what they're seeing after the first 4 weeks of the season.
Right.
But if they win these next two games, then yes, you have to start thinking about Texas. You have to start thinking about Iowa, because if they're in a legitimate position to compete for a top 4 spot, then you know that not only is the committee going to be looking at both of those losses, but the fans are going to hold it against you as well as far as your resume goes. So from that standpoint, maybe I can see the argument.
And it all goes poof, let's face it, if Iowa State loses to West Virginia this weekend, because
yes,
you've already got 2 losses. So I guess this is a roundabout way of saying talk about it while it's still feasible, because it very well could go by the wayside next weekend if Iowa State doesn't win. Now, if they do, then we're going to have another round of this discussion next week. And that's what was so fun about 2015, was each week where Iowa just kind of kept hanging around and hanging around, and then ultimately winds up in the Big Ten championship game losing to Michigan State and going to the Rose Bowl as the consolation prize. And as we all know, things ended well there, and the Hawkeyes won the Rose Bowl. And no. I know Iowa fans have purged that from their memory, so if you just say it often enough and they're not listening closely enough, maybe a couple people, that would make them feel a little bit better. I still felt so bad about the number of people that paid such huge amounts of money for tickets to that Rose Bowl game early on, because the market wound up tanking, the ticket market, and then you pay your way all the way out to California, all the way to the Rose Bowl, and Christian McCaffrey runs all over you. Speaking of, Matthew Berry from ESPN.com, a big fan of Carolina Panthers running back / receiver Christian McCaffrey this week for your fantasy football purposes. On the way down, I drove past Mantality's new office in North Liberty, 595 Ashley Court, just off of Highway 965. And if you don't know anything about Mantality, you may be interested in checking out the website, lowtusa.com. Don't let that scare you, because low testosterone isn't necessarily something that you need to be scared about, although it is a health concern for a number of men. You may not even know it, but testosterone is a naturally occurring chemical in your body. It regulates the way that we feel. It's what makes us feel like a man. I know in 2017 sometimes that sounds like caveman talk, but the levels tend to go up and down, and especially down the older that you get or the more weight that you put on. So if you want to try to get those levels back up, similar to topping off your gas tank or making sure that you've got enough oil in your vehicle, lowtusa.com. It's covered by insurance. You're dealing with board-certified physicians. They're doctors. They can help get you back on the right track to feeling the way that you used to when you were younger, had more stamina, had more energy. You know exactly what I'm talking about, guys. LowTUSA.com and Mantality. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, the KGYM road trip continuing from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub after this.
Conventional wisdom may tell you that a local community bank doesn't have the resources to keep up with the big banks. That's not true at Midwest One Bank. From mobile banking to text alerts to pop money person-to-person payments, Midwest One can meet your needs. Enjoy the convenience of opening your account online at MidwestOne.com and the peace of mind knowing you can speak with a banker at a local Midwest One Bank whenever you need them. It's high tech and high touch at Midwest One, where you're the one. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
I'm the neighbor with the orange tractor. I plant, grow, harvest, haul, and feed. Caring for the land is a responsibility we all share out here. For our families, for ourselves, for us all. Right now, a Kubota M7 can be yours with 0% financing for up to 84 months. Now through December 31st, 2017. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Register now for the Let Me Run Fall Fest 5K, presented by Pinnacle Realty. This chip-timed race on Sunday, November 5th, starts at 1 o'clock at Kirkwood Community College. Proceeds benefit Let Me Run Eastern Iowa Corridor. Find race info at letmerun.org.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Great discussion about the Iowa-Iowa State crossover as far as cheering for the other team if it improves your standings on the Hertine and Stocker text line. Enjoying your texts. Keep them coming. 319-366-1600. We're going to chat with Jack Dom, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, coming up in just a little bit, putting the finishing touches on another Major League Baseball season, the hot stove season officially kicking off. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will join me as well. And coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, we are going to go find former Iowa running back Albert Young. What's Albert Young up to these days? He's going to check in with us, and then Rob and I will take you to 6:45 tonight, a little bit of an early dismissal for the second week in a row. But before we go, we'll get back into Iowa and Ohio State tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium, as well as what's going on around the rest of the Big Ten tomorrow. A big game involving Michigan State and Penn State kicking off at 11 a.m. on Fox. Let's go back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It's time for another Midwest One Bank Big Board Update. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle Mann.
Iowa led Belmont Abbey by only 5 points at halftime of its final exhibition game last night, but caught fire in the second half to fly to a 96-64 victory inside Carver Hawkeye Arena. Tyler Cook was the top scorer with 24 points and 7 rebounds, while freshman Luca Garza put up a double-double with 18 points and 12 rebounds. Connor McCaffrey had only 2 points, but also 3 steals and 4 assists with no turnovers. The Hawkeyes open the regular season next Friday, hosting Chicago State. Iowa State has a scrimmage coming up on Sunday against Emporia State, and head coach Steve Prohm announced today he'll be holding freshman Terrence Lewis and redshirt freshman Cameron Lard out of that game for undisclosed semi-disciplinary reasons. Nate Kading will serve as the honorary captain for this weekend's football game hosting Ohio State. The Iowa City native was a first-team All-American in 2002 and 2003. Iowa's interim athletic director Barbara Burke announced that the university has initiated a feasibility study looking into the possibility of building a new softball facility. Burke cites occasional irrigation issues as one reason for a new facility and is looking at the area near the field hockey and soccer fields. Tonight after the show, it's a pair of Class 3A high school quarterfinal matchups. Davenport Assumption is at top-ranked Cedar Rapids Xavier with Scott Unash on the call. That's on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have West Delaware traveling to number 3 Solon. Alex Kuhn on the call for that one on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Iowa City West must be at home tonight as well.
They're taking on Cedar Falls.
A number of Cedar Falls fans joining us here at the Coach's Corner as well. Best of luck to all of our teams, area teams, in the quarterfinals tonight. Next stop, the Unidome and Cedar Falls. And we'll have a full rundown for you after the games are over tonight. The high school scoreboard show with Jeff Downing from the KGYM studios as well. Tune in. Don't miss it. Back with more of the Todd Brolkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, actually with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com after this. It's time for our final weekly check-in with Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom. Touching All Bases is next.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by McDonald Optical, over 60 years of helping you see your world more clearly in downtown Iowa City and at the Iowa City Marketplace.
When you're looking for a new pair of glasses, it's nice to have a pair of locations to choose from. That's why McDonald Optical has 2 Iowa City locations. Stop and see McDonald Optical in their brand new space next to Panera, inside the Iowa City Marketplace on the east side of town. Or come to their tried and true store on South Clinton Street downtown. Schedule an eye exam with one of their excellent doctors. And find your next pair of glasses at one of McDonald Optical's pair of Iowa City stores. McDonald Optical. Eyewear as individual as you.
Off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store. U.S. only.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN and ABC News have learned that seven NFL owners will be deposed in the Colin Kaepernick collusion case against the league. Those owners will have to turn over all of their emails and cell phone records related to Kaepernick. Another reprieve for the Cowboys and running back Ezekiel Elliott today. A brief stay from the Second Circuit Court of Appeals that allows Elliott to play Sunday against the Chiefs. There will be a hearing, though, next week in front of a full panel of judges. Pro Football Hall of Famer Nick Bonacani announced today he is donating his brain for CTE research. Bonacani is now 76 and says he was diagnosed with at least 10 concussions during his 14-year career. In the NBA tonight, a doubleheader on ESPN starting at 7 Eastern with the Cavaliers and Wizards in Washington. Wizards forward Markieff Morris will make his season debut. Then the Celtics and Thunder in OKC. Boston forward and twin brother Marcus Morris will make his debut with the Celtics. USC defensive lineman Liam Jimmons may face felony assault charges after he knocked over a WSU student.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
The Home Depot serving up holiday treats in the kitchen. Up to 40% off appliance special buys and 12 months financing on appliance purchases of $299 or more. Like the Samsung stainless steel gas range, Black Friday priced at just $598. With five burners, removable griddle, convection cooking, and almost unlimited possibilities. Our lowest prices of the year, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see store for details. Credit offer valid through November 22nd, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Stupid rubber duck. Oh, I bet this is Mariota's room. Whoa, I get that he went to Oregon, but a pond-themed room seems a little weird. I was just looking for Mariota.
Hey, what's going on out there?
I told you we should have just gone to HeismanHouse.com, but no, we had to go to the house. We could have voted for this year's Heisman winner from the safety of our computers.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Welcome back in, 5:35. It's the Todd Brawl Camp Show officially now. Alex is departing for high school football tonight. A couple great games on the way for you, and we'll be off at 6:45 because of them tonight on all three frequencies, 106.3 and 107.5 FM and 1600 AM KGYM, bringing you high school football action tonight. It is the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Until then, LinderTire.com, the place to go for some great online specials, or you can shop in person at Grinnell, North Liberty, and Iowa City. Former Hawkeye running back Albert Young going to join the program tonight shortly after 6 o'clock. We'll check in with him. And by Will, I'm pleased to be joined again by Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com, who hasn't got sick of working with me yet on Fridays. And, Rob, we got Jack with us for the final time this year. We got to close the book on another baseball season, and I know you're just as big of a baseball fan as I am, so a little bit of a bittersweet moment today watching the World Series parade in Houston and the trophy presentation. But the good news is the season may be over, but that just means more time to talk about the hot stove, right?
It's an exciting time. It always is disappointing when the season comes to an end. But what a great World Series, and now it becomes a real exciting time as far as trying to figure out what the teams are going to be doing in the offseason. And everybody thinks now it's a downtime for the front office people, but this is really where the teams and where you win championships is in the offseason for the front office guys.
We talked about this earlier, the trend towards pulling starting pitchers early and going to the bullpen. Is that what teams need to start to look at in this offseason instead of there's not many starting pitchers out on the market anyway, as we talked about. Do you start to build your bullpen?
Well, I think that's been a trend here recently, but I think the biggest thing, last year at this time, the number one question everyone was asking is baseball changing now where you're going to have relievers throwing more and more innings? And it has happened. But you can't do what you're doing in the playoffs in the regular season. Now, you want to have a great bullpen when it comes to playoff time, but I still think the number one thing that you're finding out is the more innings you get from your starting pitching throughout an entire playoff system, the better off you're going to be, because those relievers get fried by the time that you get to the World Series. Look at Chapman. Now, it worked out for the Cubs, but look at Miller a year ago, and look at, the Dodgers relievers were very good when they were fresh. But after the day after they pitched, innings, they struggled. So they throw good, then immediately the next day they'd struggle. So I still think you need to get quality innings from your starting pitching. You need to build up your bullpen, but I still think you need to get 6 innings from your starters. Otherwise, you're going to be fried by the time you get to the World Series. And you know what? The Dodgers had the best bullpen in baseball. It didn't come through in the playoffs for them. They did every other opportunity.
This kind of drives home the point that it's still baseball, and a 7-game series is a short window of time. When you look at it over a 162-game regular season, anything can happen in the span of 7 games. Teams can get hot, teams can get cold, and like you just said, a bullpen that's been absolutely fantastic can suddenly falter, especially when there's so much pressure on every game, and you've got to win every single game, and so you're going to the bullpen early, and you're tempted to use Kenley Jansen for 6 outs instead of 3.
You know what? I think this is not an at-bat that anybody has talked about, but I think a big at-bat was after Jansen had blown a save, and then he came in, and I don't know if it was the 3rd game, and Bregman hit a home run off of him. I thought that was a big at-bat because not only did he blow a save, now all of a sudden he came in the next outing where they won, but Bregman hit a home run. So Jansen was human after a loss, and there's so much pressure on you, like you said. I thought that was one of the biggest at-bats in a loss by the Houston Astros. I thought that was a big at-bat in that series because they showed that not only did we beat Jansen, but now we can still, or we were able to tie the game up off him, but then we scored the next time we faced him. And, it's interesting what happens in these World Series games and how the momentum goes back and forth. But I'll tell you this much, it was a great series for baseball. There was more people, one just walked by, that were talking about this World Series being the best World Series that they've ever watched.
And each team went out and got a key starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And the one did well. And the other one didn't.
Yeah.
Did you see anything from Darvish? We talked about it last week about Houston knowing him. Was that the case?
I think the biggest thing about Darvish was how's he pitching the big games. He's one of the things that the really good pitchers are able to do is they're able to slow the game up. It's hard to be very competitive in baseball, but at the same time slow the game up. That's what the great ones are able to do, the Baumgartners, the Verlanders. Hugh Darvish, his heart rate gets higher. So he's been a guy that in big games has really struggled from that standpoint. And again, it happened in the World Series, I think, being 0-for-2. I thought maybe when he threw well against the Cubs, that also maybe that got him over the hump. But, you know, he struggled in the big situation, and part of it is learning how to control your heart rate, slow the game up. And the other thing, now I did hear something else, is he was tipping his pitches. So I think it was Perez on ESPN. He talked about how he was tipping his pitches. You could see whenever he's going to his slider by his grip, because he was wondering how they were getting such good swings off of him, and they thought he was tipping his pitches off. So, but again, that's seeing him, like you talked about.
Right.
They saw him, and then they saw him tipping his pitches, and then they really did a good job, and they jumped. The thing is he threw a lot of breaking balls, and they were jumping on the breaking ball. So when that happens, they probably did see something that they knew what was coming.
Jack Dom joining us, the Mount Mercy baseball coach, for his final time this season touching all bases. And let's go ahead and turn our attention to the hot stove circuit really quick. There are going to be some teams out there looking to make some acquisitions this offseason. The big name that's going to be talked about a lot, though, is Giancarlo Stanton of the Marlins. Do you see the Marlins trying to move him? And obviously with that contract, it's going to be a limited pool of teams that could be taking him on.
I think it's a limited pool, but you know what? He's a guy that people want, and he's one of the most talented young guys in baseball. He can become the face of a franchise, and I think you're going to see some teams going after him. It's going to be interesting to see who goes after him. You know, everybody right away would say the Yankees, but they've got their own guy in Judge. You know, I think another interesting team might be the Mets. Of course, the Cardinals are always in play right now. They feel like they need to make a big splash, and a guy that can drive the ball out of the ballpark. You know, some of those West Coast teams get a little bit interesting also. So it's going to be a big asking price, though. It's going to be interesting in that trade what they get. The thing is, I believe the Marlins are going to be looking for young talent, so it's got to be somebody that has a lot of talent in their minor leagues, and maybe a couple guys that are already big leaguers who have a very, very bright future. So I think it's definitely going to happen. We talked about right when Jeter became the owner, would they trade him or not, and we thought, you want that to be your first move, but he's pretty adamant he wants a $90 million salary. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I would expect it to happen sooner than later as far as a move of Stanton.
What do you see the Cubs doing this offseason? And the Cardinals, I guess, for that matter, being as they're the two teams that most people around here focus on.
Well, I think they got Quintana. I think you're going to see them trade one of their major league players, if it's Schwarber. A lot of people haven't brought up Russell. Now his name's starting to come up. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade Russell or Baez or Happ. I think it's going to be one of those four guys to get a controllable starting pitcher with a very bright future, if it's Archer. A guy with Quintana, who you have a friendly contract that, you know, you're going to get a big league guy, starting rotation guy for about 3 to 4 years. Now you do that also. Now it gives you a little more leeway to be able to sign an Arrieta or sign another guy in free agency. But they've got so much talent. Some of these young guys, if it's Schwarber, if it's Happ, if it's Baez, if it's Russell, these guys need to play every day. And they've got so many position players right now that, you know what, they're probably stunting the growth of some of these guys, some of these young guys. So you can always keep the, you go out and find seasoned veterans to be the backup or to be the corner outfielder. So I expect the Cubs to make a trade of one of their big league guys and go out and get starting pitching. I'd still love to see them get a leadoff guy. I'm a little more old school, you know. I'd like to see him get a leadoff guy. But, you know, Elmara might be able to become a Springer type of player. He's got power, tremendous defensive outfielder, so he might be able to step up. Now, the Cardinals need to make a splash. St. Louis is getting frustrated. The fans are getting frustrated. They need to make a splash on somebody, and I think that's why a guy like Stanton would be very, very intriguing for them.
I saw MLBTradeRumors.com yesterday had the Cubs linked with Addison Reed, and you touched on it a little bit. There's going to be a number of relief pitchers who are out there, and they're actually speculating Reed could be a guy that gets a 3 to 4 year deal from a team, and not necessarily to close, but to be that guy that pitches in the seventh or eighth inning, depending on where you need him. We saw Greg Holland go to the Rockies last year and actually turned out to be one of the best free agent signings. Interestingly enough, I think they had him going to the St. Louis Cardinals. But I think the arms race is going to be on, but as you hinted at earlier, not necessarily for starting pitching because the pool is relatively shallow this year, but it's been proven time and time again that relief pitching wins out, especially to get to the postseason, where look at the Dodgers making games 6 to 7 innings, yeah. And everybody remembers the Royals a couple years ago when you only needed 5 innings out of your starter before you got into their bullpen.
And that really changed baseball right there, and that wasn't done on purpose. That just kind of happened for them, where all of a sudden everything fell into place. And, but that's a trend now. However, what happens, they get in the playoffs, and now they try to extend their relievers. And that's where they start getting in trouble, where all of a sudden instead of the relievers going the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, one inning apiece, all of a sudden they're trying to get their closer to throw, get 6 outs. All of a sudden they're getting their setup guy in there a little bit earlier. So relief pitching is going to be a huge, huge part. Here's the other thing is people feel like you can go out and get relief pitching with current free agents, but also with those power arms in the minor leagues where all of a sudden you spend for that guy throwing 98, 99 that maybe you think could be a closer, but you use him as a setup guy for a year or two. The other thing is you look at guys like Davis. He was a starter who also you put in the bullpen, he adds 3 to 4 miles per hour, and he ends up becoming a tremendous closer. So there is. It's a little bit easier to get that bullpen compared to starters, but just like the power hitters, the power arms in that bullpen is a big thing in Major League Baseball now.
You saw the White Sox kind of blow it up and start from scratch, and now they've built up a great farm system. How close are they, and what do they do this offseason?
You know, it's going to be interesting. The White Sox have not been known to have patience.
Right.
They've always wanted to win, and in about a six-month period, Hahn did a great job of putting together also the greatest minor league system, the best minor league system in baseball. They've got to stay patient. They've got to stay patient. They need to do what the Cubs did a good job of doing, is go out and get those starting pitchers who are going to be kind of guys that struggled for a little bit, and then next thing you know they come in and have a good year, and then you trade them off for some other good pitchers or other good position players. And so I think the White Sox are still probably about 2 years away. They need to be patient and don't also go out and sign a big free agent. Right. That also, and we're going to compete in the Central. No, right now, stay the course. That's the biggest thing that Theo did, is they stayed the course, and because they stayed the course and they trusted the process, they probably got there a year early. The Yankees did the same thing. The Yankees always talked about spending money, but they stayed the course, and if anything, that's what Hahn needs to do, is stay the course with the White Sox. They're probably 2 years away. Don't try to make a big splash. Try to get those free agents, pitchers, who can have a good first half, then you trade them off, and then you get 2 or 3 more prospects to continue to build up that minor league system. Now they'll be in the situation that the Cubs were in, where you got the minor leaguers to be able to trade away for major league ready talent when it's time to win.
Last question for you, Jack, before we part ways for another season, but there are a number of people out there that are concerned with the direction that baseball is heading in. They feel that the analytics wing is taking over too much of the game. Gabe Kapler, hired by the Phillies to be their next manager, is a big-time analytics guy. And as you can imagine, in an old-school city like Philly, yeah, their media isn't exactly embracing that. There are people that are worried that the game is becoming too robotic, that it's becoming too numbers-oriented. Do you agree with that, or are you a little bit concerned about how we're going down that road of everything is analyzed and some would say overanalyzed?
Well, I think you saw it during the World Series. Why is Rich Hill coming out in the fourth inning? Because they don't want him to be seen a third time. And I think without a doubt, and I think as managers, one of the big things that about a manager is the great managers I thought in the past were guys that had a tremendous feel for their players. How to handle a bullpen. Now handling a bullpen and having a starting, and not only handling the bullpen but handling the starting staff, is the matchups, the analytics. And I think it's gone too far from that standpoint. And that's every move that was made with the bullpen here in this series, it was all analytics-driven, where it was matchups where starting pitchers being seen the third time, matchups. And you know what? I think it is going a little bit too far that way. You know, people are talking about the Red Sox maybe backing off the analytics as much as they were in the past. And I like the human error. I like the human part of the game. It's very similar to people talking about the strike zone with umpires. Should we have a strike zone that is computer-oriented where it's strike and ball? I like the human factor in it. I like the human factor in the managing part of running a game. And I hope it doesn't keep going that way, but it is scary. I can tell you this much. Pro scouts are worried because a lot of them think that everything is going to go down to what kids do in high school, what they do in college, and then what they do in the minor leagues. And pretty soon you're not going to see as many pro scouts. And Todd, you know as many pro scouts as I do. Those guys work hard, and they take a lot of pride in what they do. I want the human factor a part of the game as much as I can if I'm running an organization.
Yeah, I don't think you can take the human factor out of it.
I'd like to see Earl Weaver and Billy Martin and those guys be given a sheet of analytics and say, here, you guys work off of this.
Billy Martin would spill whiskey on it. So.
Well, and I think I've told this story on the air, but I got to spend some time with Tom Lawless a couple years ago, the interim manager of the Astros after they let Bo Porter go. And he told me the story over cocktails of being in the manager's office and having three guys in golf shirts and slacks come in and put down big, huge binders in front of all of the coaches on the Los Angeles Angels. And Tom Lawless said, what the hell is this? We've played these guys 18 times already this year. I don't need a binder full of information to know how to approach. Now, his old school approach didn't get him the Houston job, and it also didn't get him hired by anybody else. He's kind of on the outside looking in right now, and those guys are sort of getting weeded out. But it's a good illustration of how some of those guys feel about where we're at in the game now.
Yeah, well, you know what? I have an issue with the fact that you could put a report down in front of me about how a guy can't hit a breaking ball. Well, by the way, I've coached some guys that have nasty breaking balls. It doesn't matter what they did against the other 50 guys that threw breaking balls. My guy's got a better one, and that's the pitch he needs to throw. Don't throw his second or third best pitch. My biggest issue is when you get beat when a pitcher throws his second, third, or fourth best pitch. You know what? If a guy can hit a fastball, but you know what? My pitcher, starting pitcher's best pitch is a fastball. I'm sorry. If I get beat, I want to get beat with my player's best pitch. And analytics is taking that out of there. Now, they go to zones, which is good. But, I feel the same way. The analytics is good. The funny part is Madden, who was known as the guy that with the shift, I heard that the Cubs did less shifting than any other team in baseball this year, or one of the fewest. That was an interesting stat to me.
Because everybody's doing it now.
Yeah, so now Jack, he's got to be different. So he changes it up.
We appreciate it. It's been a great run, and
we're celebrating the end.
We will apparently, and we will talk to you. Shortly toward the end of spring training, if I remember right, when we get started up again.
Sounds good,
Mount
guys.
Mercy
Thank
baseball
you.
Coach Jack Dom putting the finishing touches on another season of touching all the bases. 5:55. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, Kyle Mann's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM, back with more after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
There's only one tailgate giving you the chance to win free airfare on Allegiant. It's the Eastern Iowa Airport tailgate. The tent goes up 4 hours before kickoff, so stop by and sign up for your chance to win free airfare on Allegiant. Play some games and enjoy eats and drinks, too. It's time to start planning spring break, so tailgate with the Eastern Iowa Airport and Allegiant. Tomorrow, near Kinnick, in the grassy grove of trees, just past the right field fence of Duane Banks Iowa Baseball Complex. The Eastern Iowa Airport. More seats, more flights, more options. Fly CID.
5:56, just enough time to kick it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle's our producer. He's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Iowa led Belmont Abbey by only 5 points at halftime of its final exhibition game last night, but caught fire in the second half to fly to a 96-64 victory inside Carver Hawkeye Arena. Tyler Cook was the top scorer with 24 points and 7 rebounds, while freshman Luca Garza put up a double-double with 18 points and 12 rebounds. Connor McCaffrey had only 2 points, but also 3 steals and 4 assists with no turnovers. The Hawkeyes open the regular season next Friday, hosting Chicago State. Iowa State has a scrimmage coming up on Sunday against Emporia State, and head coach Steve Prohm announced today he'll be holding freshman Terrence Lewis and redshirt freshman Cameron Lard out of that game for undisclosed semi-disciplinary reasons. Nate Kading will serve as the honorary captain for this weekend's football game hosting Ohio State. The Iowa City native was a first-team All-American in 2002 and 2003. Iowa's interim athletic director Barbara Burke announced that the university has initiated a feasibility study looking into the possibility of building a new softball facility. Burke cites occasional irrigation issues as one reason for a new facility and is looking at the area near the field hockey and soccer fields. Tonight after the show, it's a pair of Class 3A high school quarterfinal matchups. Davenport Assumption is at top-ranked Cedar Rapids Xavier with Scott Unash on the call. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have West Delaware traveling to number 3 Solon. Alex Kuhn on the call for that one on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Ohio State in town to take on the Hawkeyes tomorrow night at Kinnick Stadium. Tomorrow afternoon would be more appropriate, 2:30 ESPN kickoff. Rob and I are going to break it down for you coming up inside the Big Hour, brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Plus, we're going to catch up next with former Hawkeye running back Albert Young. It's all on the way.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30.